Coming up on the next KNC Masterpiece, potential trade partners for Micah, and is it time to have the Josh Young talk? The fun starts at 10, goes all the way to 2 on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. No, not for today, all right? Not today for the Josh Young talk, all right? After last night, there's no way we have to have that talk. He did great things last night. We will celebrate him today. Plus, 10-game hitting streak. Like, we'll rock with that for a little bit.
Absolutely, we will.
The Jock Peterson talk, I guess it was time, because when he hit his home run last night, Fred.
How about what he said afterwards?
He said, "Don't F with me." And I was like, hold on, dude. You're hitting 123, and you hit a home. Granted, great moment for the home run, because I had just tweeted, freezing cold take.
Yeah.
I just tweeted over the weekend, every time I need Jock Peterson to do something, he doesn't. And then I needed him to do something last night, and he absolutely
and he did do it.
Yes, he did.
He did do it, and, you know, it's funny because I was sitting there, me and my son were watching the game last night, and I told my son when Jock Peterson stepped up to the plate, I said, well, this isn't going to end well. And, you know, my son's getting used to watching Ranger baseball, and so, of course, then Jock Peterson, you know, just hits a moonshot, and, you know, I was like, okay, well, that didn't turn out so badly. I said, no. And then as I'm watching him say, you know, don't bleep with me, mm-hmm. I started laughing, and I, you know, and of course I gave my son the rundown of what was going on with Jock Peterson, but look, athletes, and let's not pretend that Jock Peterson hasn't had success.
That's true.
In Major League Baseball.
That is absolutely
all right?
True.
Yes. And let's not pretend like this guy, you know, hasn't had big hits and big moments like he did last night. Obviously,
this year's been atrocious.
Well,
so
right.
Far, so
and
far.
As Ranger fans, as Ranger Nation, we have not been privy to said moments. And so was last night. You know, you could tell from just his body language, the don't bleep with me. He needed that. I mean, not only did the Rangers need that, but Jock Peterson, for his psyche and for his well-being and for if this guy is going to be the piece that Chris Young and the Ranger front office thought he was going to be. Look, if him saying don't bleep with me is what he needs to get his mind right, if that's the positive affirmation that he needs to tell himself in the mirror 10 times while he brushes his teeth with his right hand, then you know what? I'm here for it.
Guys, Alec, you might remember this too. During the run to the World Series,
yeah,
Adolis Garcia is playing. They're playing against the Twins on a Sunday. I remember this specifically because I'm sitting there in the stands, actually in the suite. Thanks to our Tolo Rachel Ring for buying the suite for Peace-a-thon.
Oh, well.
And I'm
nice.
Sitting there in the suite, and I'm walking around going, I know he struck out 4 times already today. I know he's struck out 4 times. He's about to end it right now.
Yeah.
And then he did, and I'm sitting there, ah! But you look down at him, and he's holding his jersey, and he's looking at it, and he's screaming. And that was the most emotional
yeah.
I'd ever seen Adolis Garcia. And that was the moment that you were like, he needed that moment.
Absolutely
right there.
Did.
And he came back to life, and then the team goes on and wins the World Series. So you might be right. Like, that moment right there might have been the thing that cracked everything open for him.
Exercise some demons.
I'm not saying
night.
He's going to go 4-for-4 every night for the rest of the year.
But, you know, just bat 200.
Yes.
Yes. Let's just go. I mean, again, it's a crawl before you can walk, but at the same time, it has been a physical and mental black hole. When Jock Peterson steps out on you know, steps up to the plate, steps out on the field. And so, you know, you could feel, you could tell the dugout was relieved. You could see the smile on Bochy's face.
Oh, man, that smile was amazing.
And again, just the entire team, like, Jock Peterson seems like a guy that they like, I think. For the most part. I mean, again, we haven't gotten any, you know,
if anybody can help you, you always like them.
Oh, well, absolutely.
I'll say that.
Right?
No matter what, if they can help our team win, man, I love you.
Well,
so
I guess
that's
my point
that's
is that from all intents and purposes, it doesn't seem like he's an a-hole in the dugout or in the locker room,
right?
Like, I've heard nothing to suggest that, you know, not only is he crappy in, you know, at the plate and just as a player right now, but he's been a complete you-know-what behind the scenes as well. Haven't heard that. Haven't heard anything to suggest that. So, again, if he's well-liked, and then, of course, you know, the walk-off itself, Josh Young, another guy who's been scuffling a little bit, get sent down, and really ever since he's been back outside of the, you know, the little bugaboo with the calf strain, which apparently, yep. you know, no Tyrese Halliburton Achilles tear going on here, at least not tonight, but what a moonshot he hit last night.
I did notice there were a couple times in the game where he would be at second base,
yeah.
And he's not running full speed to get to third.
Right.
And there was maybe some opportunity, but he's like, he was gingerly taking care of himself, which that's perfectly fine. You want to DH for a little bit and do that for us.
That.
I'm perfectly okay with that. With Josh Jung, he is the heart and soul of this team.
Yeah.
Corey Seager is the best player on the field.
Right.
Josh Jung, go back to the World Series. When he's the first one out of the dugout when you've done something good.
Right.
Adolis hits a home run. He's the first one there giving him the Bash Brothers. Yeah. You know, all the things, he is the emotional leader while Adolis is the like emotion of the team. Right. If he's hot, if the team's hot, he's there, you know. But Josh Jung is necessary to this team. And last night you saw why. And I think that's the big lift that you're going to get from him. Things didn't start out so well last night.
No.
Patrick Corbin started off a little tough. Gave up six hits on the night, three runs. I was amazed. Somebody did ask me to play all the runs from last night. I don't think we have all the runs, but we're good. Thanks a lot, Peyton. I appreciate it. The start, he wasn't great to start the game, but whenever he got out of the first inning with only giving up one run with bases loaded, I was like, that's a positive right there.
Oh, absolutely.
Only giving up one run, and now I tweeted that. A lot of people were like, I don't know, with this team, that seems insurmountable. And right. I was like, yeah, I get it. But then they have a four-run inning. And that, like, the vibe completely changed after the Rangers went up 4-3 for me in this game.
Well, and again, I guess I'm not going to say I'm in the minority on this, but I feel like with the way this offense has played, look, if this was 2-3 months ago, yes, a 2-3-4-run lead does seem insurmountable for this offense. Mm-hmm. But not anymore. I mean, again, like I said, we'll use the arbitrary June 7th date that we keep using, which was the second game of a three-game split against the Washington Nationals. But, you know, this team has been one of the best offenses in baseball. And more importantly, shout out to our boy Jared Sandler, who posted a bonkers stat today.
Okay.
I don't know. And if you guys don't follow Jared, shame on you. Go give him a follow right now. But he posted something this morning, and I can't remember. I don't know. I didn't look at the time. I don't know if it was last night or this morning that he posted this. They're, 56-45 against all of baseball, 3-10 against the Seattle Mariners, your Texas Rangers.
They've okay. not been able to figure out the Mariners
so,
at all.
And right, and, yeah. and let's think about how many, and again, we talked about how many one-loss games they've had in the last, you know, the last two times they've played them, last two series they've played them. So, again, that's and we've gotten into that, and who knows, maybe that'll all change when they come, come playoff time. That said, you know, I think we're starting to kind of settle in a little bit that, you know, against anybody not named the Seattle Mariners, you know, pun intended, like, this team's pretty dadgum good, okay? And I get it. The Yankees are reeling, but oh, by the way, they're a wild card team right now. You know, you took care of the Detroit Tigers not too long ago, okay? You lost two out of three to the Dodgers early on in the year, and that was when your offense was absolute, you know, a dumpster fire, right? So
before the break, you handled up on the Astros.
You took care of the Astros, right? You know, and it seems, and the funny thing about this team is that, you know, again, it's, and you know, you should have taken two out of three against a good Padres team if you had a bona fide closer at the time.
True.
Right? So that's the thing about this Rangers team that I think, you know, and we had somebody text in yesterday, oh, you got to give Bochy, you know, you got to, why is Bochy not getting more blame? Well, because of nights like yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay, and we wonder why. Okay, well, why are you giving Peterson the benefit of the doubt? Why do you? What's his deal? Does Peterson have pictures of Bochy? Look, this is what the hand he's dealt.
Yeah.
And you have to look when you're giving a guy 17 milli, like you're giving Jock Peterson. Like, again, by the way, he's only had 20 at bats.
Yep.
Since he came off the DL with the wrist injury.
This started, thanks to Jared, by the way, for what I'm about to say.
Yeah.
And it started with Jeff Banister, my philosophy on baseball. The season's 162 games. You have five at-bats a game, maybe, if you're
right.
Lucky, all right? With players, Banister was very key on, you're waiting to, why are you waiting so long for this guy to show?
Yeah.
All right, why are you waiting? And Banister's theory on this was, I need to plant seeds that these guys trust me.
Yeah.
That I'm not just going to react out of nowhere because I need to give them every possible opportunity to prove that they can't so that I can get the best out of them. I need to plant a seed with a guy. And that seed just isn't planted for this team.
Right.
That seed's planted for any free agent out there that wants to come play for me. That seed's planted for any trade person that comes into this team. I'll have patience with you because you're a pro. I know that you're a pro. You're here for a reason, and that's the way that Bochy's been like that since he got here.
Absolutely.
There are plenty of players that you're like, why do you keep giving this guy a chance? At some point, I might need him. I know what their skill set is, and I'm going to be patient and see that it comes out. And we as fans are not that patient. It is just not in us to be that patient, but I'm glad our manager is.
Well, and we all know what fans short for, fanatic, and that's what we all are to a large extent.
Absolutely.
But, and you know, look, you've heard this. Coaches have said this, and, you know, you played the audio yesterday of Pete Carroll talking about different coaching styles or what have you. Jock Peterson coming through as clutch as he did yesterday. Josh Jung coming through and coming through as clutch as he did yesterday.
Huge game by him, too.
Huge game, right? And this is the kind of stuff, and one of the questions I want to ask Bruce, if we have him on Wednesday, is... Think about it. He's taken Marcus Semien, okay, who you know has been a leadoff man for most of his career and has been a damn good one. But threw him down to ninth in the lineup at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, ninth in the lineup, batting 173. All right, now he's kind of he's had a very up and down year, but he's also had some very clutch hits. But you sent Jake Berger down, you sent Josh Jung down. All right, you gave Adolis 5 days off. All right, you've stuck with guys like Jock Peterson. Like, my question
sent
for
Berger
him
down.
Is, you know, you sent Berger down, right? You've done all these things with veteran guys, moved them up and down the lineup. I mean, you know, and again, when the offense was a scuffling and you know, darts were flying, arrows were flying at these guys. What are those conversations like? And you know, what does it say about the trust these guys have in Bruce Bochy that I'm going to send a guy like a Josh Jung down? And let's be honest, outside of the calf strain, Josh Jung has been night and day different from when he came back. And, you know, a month ago, just the end of Josh, you know, yeah. And of course, look, I get it. It's the internet. It's clickbait. It's going to happen. It's just the end of Josh Jung, you know? What does this mean for him moving forward? And Bruce Bochy was very steadfast and said, no. He's very much a part of our plans, but he needs to get his head right.
Yeah.
And what is that like, having those conversations? Because the one thing about baseball that always fascinates me, outside of golf, it's probably the most mentally demanding sport of any professional sport out there.
Yeah. He said the same thing about Zeke Duran last week with us.
Yeah.
Kevin was like, is he kind of on his way out? And he was like, he's loved in the locker, in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
We know what he can do, and we might need him at some. He said that last week.
And look, he came up with a huge hit against the Mariners.
Huge hit last night, too.
Yeah.
To send the team over the top to get the first lead of the night. Like, so he knows that these guys, the personalities, how they fit together. Bobby this morning was like, what does a manager do if everything's already kind of pre-planned? Because yesterday, Patrick Corbin's not having a good day. You got John Gray that you can go with long relief. I'll get to John Gray in just a second, too. Well, they know that. They have that plan just in case. Well, what does a manager do? Manages people.
That's
What does that mean? You gotta have your finger on the pulse of these guys. You got to get to know them. You got to understand them. Know what motivates and pushes buttons for these guys. And Bochy does. It's a master at that.
That's
why when players that aren't playing for him anymore, they're like, look, I knew what was demanded of me.
Mm-hmm.
But I also knew that I was going to be respected the whole time.
Yeah.
As a man, and I was going to get opportunities. John Gray, on his run to the World Series, pretty much forgotten. Okay. No longer a starter in the situation. Hey, John, what was the conversation like with Maddox and Boach? They didn't really talk to me. What do you mean they didn't really talk to you? I needed to figure it out myself, and they knew that.
Yeah. And sometimes that's the best approach.
So they let him. And then what? He finally gets his chance, and he's like, I cannot wait to get my chance. And he does it in the World Series, and he has an exceptional outing. Saves the team going the World Series. Last night, John Gray's kind of in this place where he can be a starter. He can demand to go somewhere else. I know the injury hurt. His hair is amazing, by the way.
He does have great hair.
But he's not
Alec Medford great.
No,
but
not
still
at all.
Pretty
That's
good
the stuff. Looks like you use lots of conditioner.
I try, man. Yeah. I just watched you yesterday.
Too. It's very Pantene Pro V-ish.
I was just thinking that earlier this morning too. But he was needed last night. Whatever role, I'm there for you, coach, because that's the kind of group that he wants, and that's what John Gray is. This is a luxury to have a John Gray.
Oh,
I mean, you had Dane
is.
Dunning like this before.
Right.
You have a John Gray who could be a starter, can be a closer if you need. you don't need, but he's available for it. And also can go long relief if you need to be able to seal up a few innings like that last night.
No, you need guys like John Gray, and to your point, he is a luxury because you just never know, especially moving forward, whether he's going to, you know, a bullpen start, right, or a bullpen game type deal. Okay, you feel comfortable with the John Gray being thrown in there. All right, we know what we're going to get out of a Merrill Kelly because I think we're going – this team's going to have to skip some starts with Jacob deGrom moving forward. But last night, I thought it was a great performance by John Gray because he'd been a little rough a couple nights prior to that. I can't remember if it was at the Mariners, I think he was he threw against, where he got roughed up in that Thursday night game. So to have him bounce back the way he did – and that's the thing about pitchers, right, is that you got to have a short memory.
Yep.
Okay. But to your point, this guy literally is a Swiss Army knife. It doesn't matter. Start, long relief, close, whatever. Guys like John Gray are a luxury to have.
All right. The other thing, too, last night, you did see Camilo Doval, the guy that I wanted to trade for.
Yeah.
He had 12 pitches, 8 strikes, got out of the inning clean. But, you know, it's all right.
It's your Yankees boy.
The Yankees got him. So I'll just have to move on with my life and just accept a World Series run, guys. All right. Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnuolo. All right, let's head out to Oxnard, where we have Mickey Spagnuolo, brought to you by your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. Mickey, how are we doing today, man?
Oh, it's a great morning here in Oxnard, California.
Nice. Are you taking part in Tank Top Tuesday? Are you all ready to rock today?
Seeing that I didn't have any video, I took my tank top off.
Okay.
Oh.
All right. Well, so you did have it on at some point. All right.
No, I wrote it. It was over my shirt when I rode in so people can see me.
No shirt noon. That's when you, no shirt noon, Mickey. You don't forget about that. That's when you take the shirt off completely. Hey, is Shoddy going to have like a presser today? Do you think that's going to be something that he rolls out and does today before this thing?
It's scheduled for after the scrimmage.
All right. Okay. That's good to know. Is McVay going to talk too, or is that something, I don't know if that's something that happens there.
Yeah, I'm sure he's going to talk to his media.
Yeah, okay.
He didn't want to talk to you. If anybody here wants to go listen to him, I'm sure he's not going to say, no, you can't hear this.
Bobby said this morning, he's expecting fights. He's expecting chippiness. I expect they want to get a lot of work done. But Schottenheimer's been very adamant that he likes competitiveness. What is the feeling about what the competitive nature is going to be like this afternoon?
Yeah, I'm sure they'll end up at some point be some pushing and shoving. What you don't want is what took place here, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years ago when they had an all-out brawl that spilled over to the fence where the fans were, and the fans started throwing punches. I don't think they want that. It was pretty funny when that occurred out here, because they were practicing on both fields, and the Cowboys' offense was on the house side field, not where the bleachers are. And I was standing over there watching, and they were practicing goal line against the Rams, right? And the thing erupted on the other side, and the Cowboys were at the line of scrimmage, lined up to snap the ball, and the entire Rams defense ran over to the other field.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, yes.
And Romo called the snap signals, and they ran into the end zone. There was one guy there, their linebacker, was on the field. He didn't go over there. And Romo ran in on a quarterback sneak and spiked the ball, right? And so we finally saw what was going on. We started running over there, and one of the Cowboys security guys was like, get back, get back. And it's like, do you think I was going to run over there and get in a fight? Are you kidding me? It was an all-out brawl with people swinging their helmets, and it was pretty vicious. I don't think it'll come to that. They practiced against them last year, and it was fine. And the other thing that they have tried to diffuse some of that, and I'm assuming they stayed, the NFL officials were here yesterday.
Oh.
And so I think they're here to at least administer some sort of, decorum here while they're practicing. So I think that helps too. I don't know they can fine anybody for fighting in a scrimmage, but at least the officials are here.
You know,
I can tell you right now, and I was always wondering about this, Micah Parsons actually out here doing conditioning work. And I heard he's been doing this the last couple days, too, by the way. So, you know, it's going to take him a couple weeks to get – we talked about it yesterday, right? But at least he's doing conditioning work. So for a guy that wants to be traded and doesn't want to be here, he's sure working hard to make sure he's in shape as best he can while he's not practicing.
Yeah, that's nice. That is, I mean, that is nice to hear for whatever team he might play for, mostly the Cowboys.
You think somebody else is monitoring that? Oh, okay, I can trade for him because he's working out. I'm not worried about paying him $40 million a year.
I'm glad, Mickey, you brought up Romo in that moment in a practice going for the touchdown, because my first memory of Romo was a game, I believe it was against the Raiders in the preseason. He's on the goal line. He walks down. I think Parcells was telling him to kill the clock and end the game, and Romo's like, no, I'm going for a quarterback sneak. I want a touchdown. I need to shine here just a little bit. It was like his rookie season.
I think it helped him make the team.
Yeah,
because they were in hurry up, and they were motioning to spike the ball, and Romo didn't spike it. He went in for a touchdown. I'm sure Parcells was pulling his hair out, going, "Oh, this kid," you know. But yeah, that did occur in that preseason game,
and that's where kind of like is Dak going to get a lot of work in these preseason games? Are you feeling like he's going to step out onto the field? Because getting ready for that first game is important now.
He'll get work today. And I think he'll get in like a full practice because they're not going to be hitting the quarterback in the preseason game. Certainly not Saturday. And this scrimmage and Saturday's first, well, the preseason games will be big for Joe Milton. He's going to have to show, some semblance of being able to run an offense. And the thing that he has to do, and Schottenheimer talked about it yesterday, and we've been seeing it, for 2 weeks, is he's got to get the ball out of his hands quicker. He holds on to it too long. What Schottenheimer says, when you do that, then you can't get it to your, I think he called it your access receiver. Like, you can dump it off, and if you wait too long to do that, then that guy ends up being covered. So we'll see if he gets out of this habit to pull the ball down all the time when his primary reads, first and second, aren't open. He's ready to run with the ball, and he's got to understand that at times you got to throw it away, and at other times you got to dump off to your, your escape receiver and take what you can get. So this will be a good test for him, but a bigger test on Saturday.
Mickey Spagnuolo, Cowboys insider, joining us here, talking all things Dallas Cowboys. They get ready for an inter-squad scrimmage with the Los Angeles Rams, and of course, the game on Saturday. That being said, Mickey, stop me if you've heard this before. Mozzie Smith with an injury. What's the latest and greatest on him? And dare I say, is this the beginning of the end for 58?
I don't think you give up on a first-round draft choice that quickly. I haven't heard anybody talk about the injury yet, so we'll see where it's at. If he participates today, and how much he's able to do, or if they've got to hold him out. But I don't think you go ahead and make a decision like that so soon. You got to let it play out, and you normally, with a first-round pick, you're going to, give him the benefit of doubt at this point, and you're going to at least go through the preseason games and see how he's doing. He's had his moments. He's played well. He's had his other moments that not so much. So, plus, it's a position they don't have much depth in, so you can't overreact and say, okay, I'm done with him. Who else is going to be able to play that nose tackle position?
Linebacker-wise, who's a guy that you're considering that, look, with linebackers, we don't get to see, especially when they're just in shells and shorts, we don't get to see really a whole lot out of them. Who's a guy that kind of you got your eye on today as far as, who's acclimated well to this new scheme or is, might be a surprise day one starter?
Well, the good thing is Kenneth Murray was back in practice yesterday after missing, boy, it was almost a week. He got back on Saturday, and I think they sort of eased him in. So it was good to see him on the field. I want to see how Jack Sanborn performs at the middle linebacker position. You know, he's not the biggest guy. He's 6'2". They list him at 235, and they're kind of hoping for a Sean Lee type performance where you may not be the biggest guy or the strongest guy, but you got to be the smartest guy and be able to identify things as quickly as possible. And he has, you know, he started games for Eberflus in Chicago, but he was never like the full-time starter that it appears that, you know, he's going to be, or they want him to be here. So I'll be interested to see how he does against the run and somewhat today, but more so in the preseason game, because those guys on defense are going to have to play. They can't hold everybody back because they got to find out as much as they can about some of these guys on defense. And, you know, if you look at the defense and what's happened so far, you don't have Micah Parsons out here. You don't have Trayvon Diggs out here. Deron Bland missed nearly an entire week when he went home for the birth of a child. And so, you know, Sam Williams is in pads for the first time in a year. So they're going to have to see, you know, exactly what this defense has. And it's kind of hard to analyze just where they're at defensively because they've played mixed and matched so many pieces that you really don't know yet. And it's not a good assessment of what maybe this defense can do. So I'm guessing that they're going to have to play these guys in the preseason to get this thing together. And then who knows, you know, when Diggs gets back on the field, when Parsons gets back on the field, it's going to take some time here to get that defense going. So a lot of when they start the season, I think it's going to rest on this offense to be able to perform well until the defense maybe can catch up.
I'm pretty excited about, and I think we all are excited about what Clayton Adams brings to this offense. And when it comes to the run game and this offensive line, Fred and I had a pretty extensive talk about the offensive line yesterday. What kind of progress are you seeing with this group and where they're heading right now?
Well, again, you know, without Guyton there, so it's an experimental thing at left tackle. You know, between Nate Thomas and Awesome Richards. And I noticed yesterday while Thomas had been taking the majority of the snaps on the first team, they rotated it yesterday and Awesome Richards took a lot of the snaps with the first team. You know, then Tyler Smith has not practiced last couple days. He was at least out there in pads and a helmet. I must have done some individual drills, but he didn't do any team. So that meant, you know, you're starting left tackle, you're starting left guard weren't out there. And chances are, I don't know if he'll practice today. So the left side of your line is kind of under, you know, backups. They had Brock Hoffman at left guard. So we'll see what happens there. And then, you know, we're just assuming that Tyler Booker's just going to step on the field and be a Pro Bowler. And, you know, this is the NFL. I know he's an All-American and a first-round pick, but there's a little bit of adjustment there. So, to me, the key to the offense is going to be the offensive line, how quickly they can get that group going. As a matter of fact, that's exactly what I wrote about last night, that, you know, you can have all these talented players on offense, the quarterback, the wide receivers, the running backs, the tight ends, but if your offensive line doesn't perform well, that kind of neuters the skill players. So this is going to be interesting to see how this offensive line comes together. And it's imperative it does if this is going to be a high-powered offense that the skill people suggest can be done.
Mickey, thank you so much for your time today, good sir. We will get back with you tomorrow, man.
I'll be here. I'll let you know what took place.
Yes, sir. There he goes, Mickey Spagnola, right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets. Did the Rangers send somebody down to AAA from the Yankees? That was a confusing tease. Next on The Fan. Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. You got myself, Corey Majors, alongside Fred Davis and Alec Medford hanging out with you as well. And it is time for some Baseball Nuggets, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. And we start, ladies and gentlemen, with the power rankings. The Rangers have been up and down for most of this season.
Yeah, they have.
They were down, what, low 20s at one point during the season. Right now,
13.
CBS has the Brewers at one.
Dude, they're balling right
now.
They are.
Actually, the top three teams are all National League teams, Brewers, Cubs, and Dodgers.
Okay.
The best AL team right now is hot. They were up three spots. They're down three spots. It's the Blue Jays, Phillies, Tigers, Padres, Mets, Red Sox, Astros at 10.
Okay.
Mariners, Yankees, and Rangers at 13, as you said. Now, as we look at the standings right now.
You're all welcome. You're welcome.
The Rangers are 1.5 games out of the wild card spot. They believe they were 2.5 out yesterday.
They were.
Now the Yankees, they beat them. Now they're 1.5.
Mm-hmm.
Beat the Yankees tonight. Half
carry
a game
the
out.
One, subtract, carry the one, half a game.
Yeah. And they're on, Yankees on a 4-game losing streak. Boston is now on a 6-game winning streak.
Yeah.
And that's kind of defeating, but it's okay. You just need to get into one of those spots. And once you get there, never relinquish that spot. The Rangers, though, they're down two spots there. And that was obviously after the weekend, losing to the Mariners a couple times.
Yeah, I'm not worried.
That's pretty tough right there. But the Rangers working their way up. And again, power rankings are, is it arbitrary? Is that the right word to use?
So.
Just kind of like it's objective and all these people throw these out. But I feel like the Rangers are kind of in that window. They're not any worse than that. And they might actually be better than that.
Dare you say middle of the pack?
Middle of the pack is kind of where they are working their way up. All right. They're a team that I think can work their way up. Cowboys, middle of the pack.
Yeah.
Going to take a lot of effort for them to work their way up there. Yesterday, the Yankees lost to the Rangers, and whenever they gave up that home run, walk-off home run to Josh Young, Jake Bird was on the mound.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Bird has now been optioned to AAA for the Yankees.
Yeah,
and I kind of like that moment for a team. Don't you? When you're in a clubhouse and you see you just had a dude that they just traded for.
Yeah,
he got on the mound. He gave up the booty, and now he's being sent down. That kind of makes. That's a little feather in the cap. I would be walking around the clubhouse.
From a Rangers perspective, yeah.
I would be walking around the clubhouse like, guys, we had that dude sitting down. Now, I guess you do have this, you could be sitting down at any time.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know from a Rangers perspective. Like, I don't know that you're really in a position right now because, you know, the proverbial scoreboard, if the season were to end today, you're still a game and a half behind the Yankees.
Yes.
Like, they're in the playoffs and you're not. So, homeboy might be getting optioned, but guess what? He might get a playoff share, whereas you're going to Cancun.
Yeah, and that's why I'm not in that clubhouse right
now.
And those guys are.
We would tell you, Corey, slow your roll.
Chill out. And I would be like, no.
Don't bleep with me. Okay, Jock, calm down.
That's what Jock Peterson said.
Hey, look, we're either going to – that last night is either going to be the – to your point, and I thought the exact same thing last night, and I told my son, I said, this dude, this could be the moment he needs. This could be his jump-off point, or this is going to be a microcosm of the Jock Peterson experience where he goes back to hitting 126 for the rest of the season, gets DFA'd in you know early September, and this is going to be one of those moments where we look back when we're looking back at the Rangers season after they missed the playoffs by 2 games, and we say to ourselves, wow, remember that time when Jock Peterson said, don't F with me, and then proceeded to be not good again?
Or it could be the moment that turned everything
and
around.
And he goes on a just heater of all heaters. Because, I mean, look, a hot bat, as you well know, Corey Majors, can flip this whole thing. If you start getting production from Jock Peterson, That's going to flip this whole lineup around, man.
It changes everything.
Because I'll say this much, and yes, I get it. Since June 7th, this offense has been better. But we need some double-digit ass whoopings is what this team needs.
Dude.
Okay? I'm not trying to get all crazy and get ahead of myself here, but this team needs some double-digit ass whoopings for a couple reasons. One,
preach.
To keep the offense going, right? Where we're just out there watching, all right, I'm here to see dongs, people.
Mm-hmm. Well,
pause.
Yep.
Pause.
Dingers.
Of the home run variety, people.
You need to start using dingers instead.
See, no disrespect to the morning show. I have got nothing but love for the morning show. But again, I listen to more G-Bag because I do the night show, people.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah. I don't get up till later.
Eric
all right?
and Zach are definitely throwing dongs out.
So
there.
They throw dongs out.
That is true.
I listen and I do, you know, Blake and I do crosstalk with the G-Bag Nation 3-4, sometimes 5 times a week. So yes. Again, I've had to hear about dongs mm-hmm. for some time now.
Alec, when he said the fourth time he said dongs, you put your left hand over your eyebrow and you put your head. Was that disappointment or was it, I don't want to be associated? What was the feeling that you just went through right there?
Colin yes. Firth. all of the above?
Yes, all of the above.
All of the above?
Just a little caught off guard here at 10:49 a.m. Central Time here in the mighty Metroplex. It's I'm not used to having somebody as loud as Fred at this time in the morning, let alone somebody as unhinged.
Yeah.
As
and Fred. It's only Tuesday, too. So
it
we
is
got
only,
we
it
got,
is only
we got
Tuesday.
Week. We got more week we got ahead of
what
us.
What an awful
week.
Point.
Congratulations to Marcus Semien winning his 6th Heart and Hustle Team Award this year.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what. Dude, who would win that here at the station?
Heart and Hustle. You know what? I'll go with Kevin. The effort he gives for Peace-a-thon every year.
Okay.
Like that dude's collecting. He does the full 14 hours of everything. Yeah. I would go for Kevin on that one.
I'm going to say Ruben Portillo.
Oh, dude, you know what?
I'm going to say Ruben Portillo.
Ruben's
okay?
the one.
Okay, I mean, look, we get it. You're teaching kids about Jesus and baseball. But Ruben Portillo, all right? This kid here, let's talk about Ruben Portillo for just a split second.
All right?
I don't know what he does outside of work. In fact, I don't know that he has a life outside of work, but
he
I know this
watches wrestling
much.
And the Oklahoma City Thunder.
That's right.
He does. He claims to run, too.
Okay.
He does.
He did run in Oxnard. I know that.
Now, I have challenged him to a 5K. Okay? I have challenged Ruben Portillo. So, Ruben, if you're listening, I want to run a race. Now, Grant, I haven't ran in years. And I still think I could beat Ruben Portillo. That said,
why?
I just feel it in my bones. That said, he is my Heart and Hustle winner here at 105 through the Fan.
Dude, you're dead on. That's a fantastic option for that.
You're welcome,
especially
you're
all
welcome.
The work that he does for us when we're out on the road, and we'll see him tomorrow when we're out at Globe Life.
That's it.
We'll also see him Friday. When we are
twice this week,
when we're at Jake's off of Marsh Lane in Dallas, so we'll be out there at Jake's. I know on Thursday, Jake's for Fan Phenom
G-Bag.
And Saxy.
G-Bag will be there as well,
and then we'll be at the Jake's on Marsh on Friday. So big week ahead for if you're Tolo that wants to come out and say hi to the fan, we're gonna be around for you.
Okay, real quick, I've already hijacked this segment, but question I have for you: has anybody reached out to you about Fan Phenom?
Yes.
And they asked you for like pointers and what have you.
Yeah, Tolos have messaged me. They want ideas.
I'm telling you right now, we got folks who think this is like American Idol.
Yeah, I'm not.
Like, this is going to change their lives.
I've told them I'm not going to give you segment ideas, but I'll give you tips on great radio.
Yeah,
I don't know that we do great radio. I try.
Hey, we're doing the best.
That's
with what
all
God
you
gave
can
us.
Do is try. But my opinion always is. Be personable.
Yeah.
Have some personality. And you can always fall back on that. Even if your sports stuff's wrong, you can just be like, I'm a knucklehead.
What I've done for a year.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, come on.
Yeah. So, yes.
Now, I got to shout out to my boy Marshall. I got to call him back because he's geeked for this thing.
Oh, really?
Okay. Like, he's asking, he wants to know pointers, suggestions, the whole nine. And, you know, if he's listening right now, I know he does Tolo. That's why I kind of threw it out to you for, because I guarantee, as you alluded to, there's a lot of folks out there that are kind of unsure. What do I do about this? And it's like, just don't overthink it.
Show energy.
I'm a big Jim Rome guy. Have a take, don't suck.
But he does.
Rack him.
You know, like,
hey.
Just because he has a take doesn't mean that he doesn't suck.
Look, I'm just going to say this about Jim Rome. Prime Jim Rome, late 90s, early 2000s, was...
You got a point.
He's like anybody else, okay? Rappers don't get better as they age. All right? What are you looking at, Carter? I see you raising your head up there back there, okay? No rapper puts out a good album after like the third one, okay? No, because Andre 2000 said it best. 877-881-1053
if you know of one.
Look, don't start with, 444 was good. No, it wasn't. All right? Don't tell me Eminem's new album was good, because it wasn't.
Mm.
All right? It wasn't.
Compared to the first ones, no.
What are you rapping about? Okay?
How much?
Your 401k? No one wants to hear that.
Uh-huh. Getting up early in the morning to go to the restroom?
No. What, babysitting Haley's kids?
Checking the prostate.
I mean, I love Ice Cube. I am an Ice Cube fanatic.
Yep.
I have listened to his last couple albums, and it's just like Lil Wayne's last album. Not great. And I love Wheezy.
Yeah.
Not a good album.
So valid point with Jim Rome as he got there.
He still exists. Early Rome was fantastic. Rock 'em. After that, Bugahaw.
Aaron Judge should return from the injured list tonight for the game against the Rangers. I love the fact that he should return against Nathan Eovaldi. So I'm perfectly okay with that. Let's get another one tonight. Coming up next year on the KNC Masterpiece, NFL overreaction or reality and potential landing spots for Micah Parsons. Next on The Fan.